At last, the final chapter of the greatest cinematic saga has arrived. We have reached the end of the journey that we were all set back on in 2008. Who knew back then when Nick Fury said to Tony Stark, "You're part of a bigger universe, you just don't know it yet." How true are those words now? And now, 21 movies later, we're at the endgame. So, without further ado, let's talk about Avengers Endgame. Oh man, Avengers Endgame. Ooh boy. Well, you can already tell. You already can tell that I'm already liking this movie, that I like the movie. And I can tell you that I didn't like the movie. I love the movie. Avengers Endgame was just... It just sealed the deal on every single movie that has been laid out before Endgame. And it's just... Oh my gosh, like I'm still geeking out over this movie. I'm over at work talking about this movie. I'm talking to myself about this movie. Like I'm finding every excuse, every way I can to talk about this movie to whoever, whenever, you know, it just, oh my goodness, this was such a joyride. This movie was 3 hours long, and I was thinking, okay, there's going to be at least 45 to maybe an hour, maybe to an hour, where it's just going to be blah, right? No, it wasn't. Like, there was no blah added in this movie. Like, there was every moment in this movie was just. Held you at the edge of your seat. Ah, my God. Avengers Endgame is, as expected, the best Marvel movie ever. I'm telling you, this movie was insane. This was such, they catered, Kevin Feige, the Russo brothers, they did everything they could to cater to the fans that had been watching their movie since the first Iron Man movie. And you got everything you wanted. Fight scenes. Memorable moments that you are going to remember for a long time. You're going to play back every time. You know, there was... Oh my God, this movie was insane, dude. Just insane. It was everything I expected plus more. Like, there was movie I was expecting, yeah, things to go down, in which they did, but how they went down I didn't expect either. Oh my gosh, I don't even think I need to continue to talk about this movie or this review, because it is what it is. Endgame is, this is what it's at. This is what it is. It's the movie, it's the superhero movie of the year. Hands down. And even if by the majority say it's not the movie of the, you know, the superhero movie of the year, you can't deny the fact that this movie was just a good movie. You could not like this. You could not like this movie. It's impossible. There's no way you couldn't not like this movie. You had to at least enjoy this movie at some point of the 3 hours you watched it, right? Otherwise, you probably would have walked out by then, right? At some point of the movie. This movie is just straight up good. Okay, so let's get into on why I like this movie, okay? Story plot. This was a tricky story plot, by the way. You're dealing with trying to rectify what happened in Infinity War, plus dealing with elements that hasn't really been introduced in the Marvel movies, in any of the Marvel movies, really, which is time travel. I mean, of course, he had maybe time was somewhat dealt with in Doctor Strange, but not at this level. And time travel can be tricky. But the good thing is the Russo brothers, who directed this movie, handled it beautifully. They handled this thing perfectly. As perfect as they could, anyways. The idea of time travel is like, it's complex and can easily leave you in a maze of rabbit holes, as I like to call it, but in that can just make the story just convoluted. You know, just so complex that you're not going to be into it anymore. You're just like, what is even going on right now? The Russo brothers, they simplified it, the concept of it, to where it was so easy for you to follow without you getting lost and, like I said, just not, you know, just lose interest in the whole entire story. And just leaving you more questions that you had before you even started watching this movie, you know? And every character in this movie had a moment. They had a really memorable moment, you know? You could not be left unsatisfied, you know, with every character in the movie. They had a moment. And in the course of 22 movies, we watched Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow. We all watched them and their destinies unfold and end poetically, closing the final chapter of each character. Some ended beautifully, some ended kind of tragic. Knowing what was at stake and knowing there was no room for error, tragedy is always inevitable. You know, something's is bound to go down, and to undo all what happened in Infinity War, the Avengers had to make some sacrifices. And thinking back in Captain America: Civil War, and forgive me if I get who said it first or who said it in the movie, but I think it was Hawkeye when he said, "If we're going to win this, some of us are going to have to lose." And that's exactly what happened. Some characters died. But in order to gain victory, they had to make a great sacrifice. And that's and that made that beautiful. That this whole story beautiful, you know? But moving on, let's talk about the visual effects. The visual effects were outstanding. Especially in the third act, it was just insane. And how they just meshed everything together to make that big scene at the end was just huge and just awesome. It's worth it, because me and my wife, we watched this in IMAX 2D, and I have to say, if you're planning on seeing this movie standard screening, you're doing this movie so much injustice. I'm telling you, you're doing it such disservice if you're watching it standard. It is meant for IMAX IMAX screens. Like, this story is just that huge, and you just could not see this in regular screening. Maybe for your second going, sure, whatever, but like your first time going seeing this, you got to see this in IMAX. It's well worth it. Just the fight scenes, going to certain scenes where they go back, when they go back in time and they revisit some of the moments in the previous movies, they really did a really good job. It was amazing. Yeah, man, you couldn't go see this. I mean, if you did, you did. I mean, it's whatever, but you gotta go see this in IMAX screens. It's definitely well worth it. There was a guy that was sitting right next to me. I think by the second act and into the movie, he was like literally all like at the edge of his seat. Like, he was that invested in watching this movie. And I could have sworn this dude was about to jump out of his seat by the time the third act happened. The way he was expressing himself outwardly was how I was feeling throughout the entire movie. But it was a joyride, man. And like I said, the visuals of this thing was that freaking awesome. Okay, so I talked at least about 11 minutes or so and haven't really given out anything too big. I haven't spoiled anything too big so far until now, because at this point I want to talk about my favorite parts of Endgame. I got to. I mean, you have to. I have to talk about it. I mean, if you haven't watched Endgame yet, just skip this part or just cut it off, pause it for right now, watch Endgame, then come back so you can geek out on me on this one. You can agree on me on certain scenes that I'm pretty sure all of us are in unison about what parts are our favorite parts in this movie. Oh man, let's start with the beginning. Let's talk about the beginning when Clinton, or Hawkeye rather, is having a little family gathering at his place. He's teaching his daughter how to shoot a bow and arrow, and the rest of the family are getting ready for lunch or making, you know, hot dogs and burgers and stuff, which I'm trying to figure out why did his wife ask, do you want mayo or ketchup on your hot dog? That's just, who eats mayo on their hot dog? I will never know. Anyways, and you knew what was going to happen, and then sooner or later you see Hawkeye's daughter just disappear. I mean, it's weird for that to be my favorite scene, but just, it was a heartbreaker to see his whole family just poof, gone, you know. That it set the tone for him, for his character throughout the movie, for sure. That's another part that I liked. Another favorite part is when everybody gets together and they're trying to find Thanos. Yes, and they find him. So Nebula, she lets them know, okay, when we were young, he used to always talk about when he finds the Infinity Stones, this is what he's going to do, and this is what we're going to stay afterwards, so whatnot. And he always talked about his place, the garden. That's where he's at. And they referenced it to being on a planet far off. And they find him, and Thanos is all beaten up from Infinity War. Like, his arm is like smaller than the other one. It looks like it's rotting off his body. Kind of got this limp going on. He's beaten up. Like, when he snapped his finger, it nearly killed him. Which, really, I mean, I'm not sure what was the part that really killed him in Infinity War. The Stormbreaker being buried into his chest, or the snap. It could be both. I don't know. but yeah, that it nearly killed him. And he's like badly wounded. But, or at least it left him scarred badly. And they gang up on them like gangbusters. Like, it was a SWAT team. And Captain Marvel just shows up, does a couple of UFC moves, and put them in like a headlock, like this crazy headlock. And Captain America and everybody else show up, and they're like, "Where's the stones?" And he's like, "They're gone." And he said that he snapped his fingers, it destroyed him, and he had no use for them. That's the thing. He only had that only purpose for them was to demolish half of all life across the universe. So, okay, all right. So, and then all of a sudden, during the talk or whatever, but all of a sudden, Thor comes out of nowhere with a Stormbreaker and just hacks his head off. Chomp. Dead. Thanos is dead. You could end the movie right there with Thor just walking off and whatever. But of course, we had another, oh, I want to say almost 2.5 hours to go at, from that point. But that part was insane, man. It was a funny part. I'm not sure what. There was a lot of funny parts in this movie. One of my favorite funny parts was Professor Hulk talking with the guys about the quantum realm and trying to figure out a way to use it to time travel. And a couple of kids come up and want to take pictures with him. And apparently, Banner and Hulk fused and well, they already fused, but they kind of became one. And then somehow it seemed to be like this, I don't know, media popularity face, I guess, because like kids came falling, kids came up to him asking for like pictures and stuff, and and Scott Lang is kind of jealous of it, and they don't even know who he is. And it's like, "I'm Ant-Man." And they're like, "Oh, they don't know who you are." It's like, and he kind of shies away. And I'm like, "It's okay. They don't know me. And I'll be gone for a way." Well, no, it's like, "It's okay. You guys want to take a picture of him, right?" Like, see, they're shaking their heads no. It's like they're shaking their heads no. He's like, "Come on, take a picture." And he's like, "Take the GD phone." That was funny. When they went to go find Thor, and find out that he is in the mess. Some people don't like that Thor literally let himself go, like just made himself fat and he's just wallowing in his own pity, basically. And some people didn't like that. And it to me, I enjoyed it. I don't say I kind of enjoyed it. It was hilarious to see him just not himself at all. But that part was awesome or hilarious. Oh, goodness. Before I get into the second act, well, just getting into the second act with my favorite part. So when they time traveled and they go back and, well, Hulk, Iron Man, and Captain America, they all go back in time when they fought the Chitauri in New York, and when they first became the Avengers. You get to see certain things, like what happened after the fact they beat Loki, which was hilarious, because like, and Tony at then at that point was Stark Tower before it became Avengers Tower, and they were getting all in the elevator, and Hulk was about to get in, and Tony was like, "Whoa, hey, we reached our capacity. Just take the stairs." And he was so mad. He was so mad. And oh, just before all that happened, ah, man, it was a part where they were talking about Captain America's first suit, and his first Avengers suit, and he
Stone started cracking on it, how it made his butt look. And then, of course, Gottlieb being the brown noser that he's been with Captain America, he's like, far as I know, Cap, that's America's ass. That was funny. And the Hulk going downstairs being frustrated, going, I hate stairs! And of course, my favorite part is the third act. I talked about it a little bit, but the third act was amazing. The fight scenes were just jaw-dropping. It was, oh my gosh. Part where Cap and Thanos started fighting, oh my gosh. And freaking Mjolnir like flies into Cap's hand, and it finally happened. And Thor was like, I knew it, I knew he'd do it. I knew he could pick it up. Oh man, and also, yeah, when Cap, Thor, and Iron Man fought Thanos, that part was good. And when everybody started to like join in, like everybody decided to join in, like after, you know, because the Hulk snapped his fingers and and everybody was back to, everything was back to normal. And gosh, and everybody's lining up about to charge into battle, and everybody just stopped breathing. Like, it was dead silence right when Captain America yelled out, Avengers Assemble. Oh man, you could hear a rat fart, man. It was that quiet in that theater, man. Because everybody, he's never said it. He's come close to saying it in Age of Ultron, but it cut him off right then and there. But for him to finally say it in the movie, it was everything. It was everything, man. That thing was awesome. I mean, he was like, Avengers! And as soon as he said Avengers, everybody just shut up. It was no sound. Like, you could hear the AC. You could hear the AC running. It was that quiet in the theaters when he said, Avengers! Assemble. And everybody started cheering. It was awesome, man. That part with that scene was amazing, dude. And the end was just awesome, beautiful. And, you know, it was just how I mean, of course, sad, and there was a lot of sad moments in that movie, of course, like Black Widow dying. And I thought for sure Hawkeye was going to be the one to die. Like, as soon as I knew they were going for the Soul Stone, I said, Hawkeye's going to die. This is it. And you see them like just battling, like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna kill myself. No, I'm gonna kill myself. No, I'm gonna kill myself. And then they both fall out or fall off the cliff, and then somehow Hawkeye shoots one of his little lasso arrows and grabs Black Widow just before she falls, and he's pinned and he can't do anything else. He can't really reel himself back up, and not without, you know, letting her go. So it was just sad. And then eventually she just like pulls off and she falls, and you're like, ah. I mean, that whole moment, you learn, like, you knew how close they worked with each other, but for that to how it was displayed and all in that whole moment, it was just like, whew, jeez. Oh man. Another sad moment was not even a sad moment, it was definitely a tearjerker, but when Scott Lang came back and he's trying to find his family, or his daughter, basically, trying to make sure she's all right, And he goes home and he finds her. And she's grown up, but she's alive. And you're just like, oh my God. Because she's seen him for the first time in 5 years. So it's oh. It's like, oh man. Like, she's all grown up pretty much. And that was emotional. Another emotional part was when, after the Hulk snapped his fingers and everything was back to normal, and you see Hawkeye's phone ringing, and he walks up to it and he sees that his wife is calling him, and you just see his face, he just starts to fall apart, and you're like, oh God. He picks up the phone and he hears a voice, and he's just like, he just falls to pieces, and I'm just looking away like, oh man, it's dusty in here, isn't it? Like, oh my gosh. Like, oh man, that part was emotional. And of course, when Tony Stark dies, yeah, that, jeez, man, when that part happened, it was like, jeez. And here comes Peter Parker. He got me. He almost got me in Infinity War. Like, he got me like choked up in Infinity War when he was turning to dust. But when he came back and he's like right up at Tony Stark, he's like, Mr. Stark, we won. We did it. We won. And he's just, I was like, oh God, dang it. Here we go. And then just when he thought it was done, here comes Pepper. And then she's looking at him with her sweet eyes and just, you know, just telling him it's okay. Like, we're okay. You can rest now. I'm like, oh my God. Just right in the heart, man. It was emotional, dude. Like, that was so emotional. But it was like I said, like as I described this movie before, it was beautiful at the same time. Yeah, I mean, those are my favorite parts. I mean, I may have left out a few of them, but that's just naming a few. But the movie entirety is my favorite, honestly. Okay, now we got all the praising and, oh, Endgame is awesome moment out the way. Let's talk about some of the dislikes that I have for this movie. Just a couple of minor issues I had with it. Starting off with the first flaw in this movie, there was a moment where Tony Stark lashes out at Steve for not coming with him to fight Thanos on Titan. That moment would have been more impactful for me if this one thing that should have happened before or during Infinity War. And that was, Tony never really contacted Steve. He never got in touch with him. It was Bruce Banner that did that. And it would have made more sense if, yeah, he did call him and say, hey man, I need you. And just begging and pleading, hey, let's squash this. Let's try to fight this bigger threat. You know, this big threat right now. And he would have said, no, I would have got that. And I understood why he got upset right then and there. But that's not the case. Because Banner was the one that picked up the phone and called Steve. So that scene just didn't really mesh with me. You know, it didn't really mesh with me. Because it was like, it didn't make any sense. Earlier, I managed to speak with my former co-host, Devin. You guys remember him. We both shared a similar concern about that scene. More so, he was more concerned on why Tony didn't lash out like on sight when he saw him when he came back. That I could have understood. But my thing was, on that scene, why he didn't really react to him was that Tony was out in space for almost a month with limited resources to live off of. So he's a little delirious, and he was literally like at the moment of death, right? Just before Captain Marvel finds him and, you know, saves him. He was just on a moment. He was just on the brink of death. And yeah, you know, my personal beef with someone is not my main concern once I see them. When I come back, like, I'm not myself at that point. You know, I'm delirious, I'm tired, hungry, you know, thirsty, all that. And you're not really worried about that. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, you know, we lost a kid. Well, I lost a kid. You know, he was speaking about Peter dying or turning to dust. And his next response was, well, is Pepper okay? Is she alive? And she shows up and then it moves off from there. And then they had to talk about what happened on Earth. And they're trying to compare notes about Thanos. You know, where did he go? You know, did he say anything? Did he give you any clues of where he might have been going after he disappeared? And of course, he just lashes out at him about him not coming when he needed him the most. And it's like, that anger would have made more sense if he actually did the part on, you know, making a part in calling him. Because in the Civil War, in the Civil War, he gave him the phone for that purpose, to call him when he really needed him. And he was going to be there. And that didn't happen. So, it seemed a little out of place, but it falls on the part of, like I said earlier, that he was just delirious and just not himself. I mean, who would be in right of mind after dealing what he dealt with out in space? Being stranded for almost a month and no way of trying to getting back home, you know? So, yeah. Second flaw, and you can call me old-fashioned or whatever, but there was a lot of swearing in this movie. More swearing than what I'm used to watching in a Marvel movie, anyways. Every now, I noticed in prior to Endgame, they might slip in the S word once or twice in the movies. And of course, using ass or damn or anything like that. But the S word seemed to use a lot. There's a scene where Tony and his daughter are like going back and forth with the S word. Heard the GD word was used, I want to say, at least 4 to 5 times. But Marvel Studios was pushing the limit with this movie, with the swearing. I think they were pushing the envelope. All right, let's just say that. They were pushing the envelope to close to a rated R. Close, but there were a few moments off to keeping it like a PG-13. But yeah, there was a lot of swearing in this thing. I felt bad for the people who brought their kids to see this movie. When you're not thinking that they're gonna be cut, like, you know, a Marvel movie, you've seen all the Marvel movies, and you know that they don't really use a lot of profanity in their movies. Not a lot, but there's a little bit. Some that you'll let pass anyways. Like, okay, you said damn, whatever. You said ass, okay, whatever. Threw out the S word. It was. There was a lot of cussing. But granted, I mean, it was Endgame and everything was at stake. So even our tongues were at stake here. So, but yeah, that That was all I had. Oh, I have one more. It's not even really a flaw, but it bothered me a lot. Not to the point where it made me dislike the movie less, but during the plans of trying to, go back in time and trying to figure out which stones were where and trying to pinpoint where they're at all at the same time. And Nebula was telling him where the Soul Stone was, and she told no one exactly how you obtain the Soul Stone. I thought that was the most evilest thing she has ever done. Granted, I know she was considered a good guy, quote unquote, but oh man, she did a horrible job being a good guy. Like, she didn't break it down like, hey, one of us is not coming back if everything goes well. If one of y'all are getting the Soul Stone, one of you aren't coming back. Do you understand? Do you understand this? Natasha, Black Widow, Clinton, Hawkeye. One of you two ain't coming back, okay? Just so you know, all right? One of you has to die to get the Soul Stone. She didn't say that. So it was so... So, yeah. Yeah, that was a real bad. I'm not sure that I'm not considering that being a flop or a mistake, but for a character that was pretty cold, Nebula. That was pretty cold. But yeah, those are my dislikes about Endgame. Okay, let's take everything, my dislikes, my likes, and just mix it all up and see what I rate this movie. And I have, putting everything all into considered, I have to give Endgame a 10. I have to give Avengers Endgame a 10. Thus, yes, I had two flaws in this movie. Yeah, that I can consider two flaws. But with all those to consider, it's still a 10. The good outweighed the bad in this film. The good was way too heavy for any minor mistakes to be pointed out at. It just was. I mean, there's so much good in this movie that it overwhelms all the mistakes in the movie. If that makes sense. Like I said earlier, like the whole Tony and Steve Rogers moment when Tony was lashing out. Yeah, okay, but they were just trying to have they were just trying to make a scene, but it didn't really. It didn't really affect the movie all that much to me. It didn't really affect the movie all too much. And the cursing, like I said, it was a bit much. More so than what I'm used to in any other Marvel movie. But knowing what was at stake, knowing what was going on in the movie, yeah, you're not going to hold your tongue about anything when the fate of the world, the fate of existence is on the balance. So, not really worried about trying to keep a clean tongue, So, that makes more sense. And the whole Nebula thing, she's new at being a good guy and being a communicator, so she's still learning how to talk to people. So, yeah. So, that really, really bother me all too much. It's a 10. This movie is a straight up 10. It's definitely better than Infinity War, as it should be. It's a 10 for me. It's a straight up 10 out of 10. Yeah. So, do you agree with me, guys? Do you think this movie was a straight up 10? Do you think it's a 9 or lower than that? You think this movie's okay, which I doubt it is okay. It shouldn't be okay. It's a solid, if it's not like amazing to you, it's just solid good, you know? It's got to be solid good. You, like I said earlier, you can't not like this movie. You know, you can't not like this movie. You had to like this movie at some point of time and during this duration. So, yeah, you gotta like this movie. So, let me know what you guys think about Avengers Endgame. What you guys thought of it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Think you hated it. I mean, come on, Alice. But yeah, just let me know what you guys think about that. And we come to a close to this episode. Wanted to talk about one of my favorite stories out of this, that coming out of Endgame. And it's not the typical story arc that most people probably like. Of course, everyone loved Cap's story, Iron Man's, of course, mine, I have to say, has to be Hawkeye's. That's his character, his role in the MCU has been quite the most interesting and the most authentic story. You would think that he would have been killed off in the first Avengers movie. Just the way things were playing out. And especially in Age of Ultron. I would probably even say Civil War as well. His things looked grim for him every time. And he always had a close call. And he always made it out. And I'm glad they kept him alive. You know, I'm glad they didn't decide to take the route and just take him out. But you got to see what he was really fighting for. And in the end game, when the thing that really kept him whole was taken from him, he fell to pieces. And you saw just a man unhinged, and then him fighting tooth and nail to get back what he lost. It was one of the best stories, definitely, for sure, and throughout this whole Avengers saga in the MCU. It's not your typical story. Like I said, it's like your most authentic story ever. Like, he's just a guy trying to make sure everything is in order when he gets home. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing this. He's joining with these super soldiers and men in metal armor and rage monsters and gods, so he can go home to his family. You know. That's an awesome feeling. I mean, that's an awesome story, you know? And watching his character just develop into this, what he became in the Endgame, it was really awesome, man. And really cool to see him as a badass, too. Hawkeye's story was definitely one of the best, for sure. That's all I got for today, guys. Thank you for listening. And next week, it's going to be another episode coming up. And it's going to be a good one. That's definitely going to be a good one. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I ain't going to spoil it just away just yet. But it's going to be It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. My treat. So, awesome. So, yeah, just let me know what you guys thought. Click that like button, or that applause button rather, on Anchor, or the heart button on SoundCloud, or whatever it is that you're listening this on. Show some love. And yeah, that's it, guys. See you guys next week. Peace.